Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Well, if you think this podcast is about something just so personal to me that you can't relate to it, or that this topic is for, you know, some fringe aspect of society, I think you're going to be surprised how relevant it is to you. See, in 2025, K.I. and Dan and I, we've already started to become more provocative in social media. Because with this particular topic, there's a repression barrier. In other words, we don't know what we've buried, and people are driven by what they've buried, and they resist it. And what we've buried drives suffering. There's this barrier to us ending suffering because of it. There's even a barrier to us knowing that we have repression. And so to kind of get over that barrier and break beyond or go beyond the trauma responses that people have, we're just going to turn the volume up and start just being ourselves more. Really, that's the story of repression, is people can't be themselves. We finally have found our voice. Well, personally, I think our personal work, that's been going on, and that was an ongoing thing. But this is what I'm saying, it's our voice in social media. So this is part of my voice in social media. I really want you to hang on with me here, because I think this is more relevant than maybe people think. I could only be a soft man or a soft boy when I was a kid. I want you to understand what that means. That's all emotional repression. It looks like gender. But, you know, right now, there's a Supreme Court case in the United States in which they're deciding a gender issue. And I want to talk about this, because I don't have any really strong dog in that fight, the legal fight. I used to fight for gay rights. I'm a gay man. I'm a completely different place. I'm not a liberal. I don't fight those fights. I think that the real transformation is a transformation of consciousness, has to do with trauma healing. And politics is what people do fighting amongst themselves because they're not healing. That's what I really think about politics and all that, because I used to do it, fighting the good fight. No, I'm not here for that. I'm here to talk about what it's like to be a human. Something that, you know what's so fucking alienating about the gay rights and transgender thing is that it's like you guys can't relate to us because you don't know us. We are you. I hate to tell you, let me explain. It's not just that most of the world is bisexual, if you read the Kinsey Report, so there's no such thing as this binary gay or straight. I've had sex with many straight men, so-called straight men. It's not about that. No, I want you to, let's go deeper than just these ways of thinking about sexuality and gender and divorcing it from our emotional system. That's the problem. It's emotional repression. Okay. There's going to be a lot of heterosexual men who are listening to me, and they're going to be shaking their head up and down as I'm talking for a particular reason. There are going to be a lot of, well, among those heterosexual men, there are going to be quite a few who feel like they could never be masculine. They had to be like soft men. Even though they're heterosexual and I'm gay, they're still going to shake their head up and down on this. There's going to be women out there who grew up kind of like a tomboy, and they didn't know how to open to the feminine, but for some reason, kind of being more like a guy was safer for them. They're going to potentially shake their head up and down for this. There are going to be women who are just women. You know what I mean? They like lipstick and women things and girly things, and it's always been, they may shake their head up and down, and then every other archetype you can imagine. Because gender, I have to say, it's not, of course there's gender. I'm not dismissing that at all. That's part of the expression of being human. I think there's more than two genders, frankly. We'll explain that in a second. There doesn't have to be, but there is, because of how we think about it. We think about it in a very strict binary way. When I was a kid, that binary system was hell on fucking earth. Let me explain. See, when I would be bullied by the kids who were like the typical boys. Like, they were the wolf and I was the like, they were the lion and I was the lamb. I don't know how I even infiltrated the athletic group because I wasn't like them and they knew it. But somehow I was in and they picked on me for it. I never got to develop into what you would call a real boy. You know, it wasn't just because I was gay, because I've now been in a relationship with someone who also grew up gay and was a tough little kid. I won't name his name, but you know who I'm talking about. A tough little kid. And I wasn't. I couldn't be tough. I couldn't be a boy. I could be a boy. I could only be a soft boy. And that's why I got picked on. Because, see, a lot of these boys in elementary school, I didn't know back then. I mean, I knew, but I didn't have a name for it. Were hurt and sadness repressors who in their family, that's how they developed. And so they could be big or dominating or angry, aggressive, bullies, more bully than anything I could do. And so their trauma made it so that when they would see me, a kid who couldn't be big, who had to be small, they would pick on me. So then I grew up with this, now I understand from KI, I didn't understand it back then. There was this programming within me that said a few things. One is, I can't be big. That's it. And that's what will connect me as a gay man with a lot of people out there who are not gay. Because there's a lot of heterosexual men who, yes, they are biologically male, but they can't be big. And that's an energetic thing. They can't get angry, maybe at all, or it's very difficult. There are a lot of heterosexual men, and I want to acknowledge you right now, because the culture really gets it confused. And you kind of hide in the culture. I noticed that, like, if you look at Justin Baldoni, is that his name? And I don't know about Jimmy on relationships, but there's another guy by the name of Mateus. There are these sort of archetypes out there, and I shouldn't really use those as an archetype because Dan and I have some issues with them because of their repression. But let me explain. There's this archetypal male that represses anger, and they can't be like a masculine man, and has had difficulty with other men and authority their whole lives. Can I get a hell yeah from straight men? Or straight bi men who can relate to that. In other words, not gay. And I'm making that distinction for a reason, just to really see how inclusive this message really is, I'll show you. But if you grew up like that, then you know what I mean. I don't have to say anything else. You couldn't get angry. Maybe you had an angry dad. Maybe you were bullied. In any event, some of these men are even big, like they're physically big. I've met like 6'5" African-American football players who I've had a sexual relationship with. Not all of them, but some of them, they can't fight. A football player. And it's not because he's gay. He has to repress anger. See, this is the hidden thing that we don't talk about when it comes to gender. Men who have to repress anger are challenged in the various cultures, and it's a trauma. See, even if a dad sort of tries to raise a boy to be really masculine or fight back, defend yourself, if that boy, in order to get love and approval earlier in life, repressed anger for whatever reason, a child's going to suffer when dad tries to do that. It's not in his constitution. You know, you can sit there and try to say to a kid who represses anger, a boy, you need to fight back and defend yourself. And that's like telling a couch to be a chair. I mean, I was a gay kid, and my dad, when I got bullied, my dad said, no, you need to fight back. You need to hit him back. And I just felt, I was just shocked. It was like a deer in headlights. I could have written a book in that moment to tell you, Dad, you have no idea who your son is. You fucking idiot. First of all. And secondly, I'm scared. I can't. Do you understand the terror? Because I can't express anger. I can't be aggressive. It's an energetic thing. It's trauma. But, you know, I developed that way in this family. And so for my dad to say, oh, we'll just fight back, boy, it's like not being seen. And I remember that imprinted in my mind after that, after sixth grade. Like, oh, my parents really do not know me. For my dad to say that, first of all, he never taught me to fight back. And I never saw him fight back. He would repress anger. And he didn't see me, that I couldn't. And you can't teach an anger repressing boy. Listen, everybody, you cannot teach an anger repressing boy just to fight back or defend themselves. The trauma that keeps them from doing that is deeper than that. It's held in the body. This is how we develop. It has to go further back. Like when we're raising kids, we have to remember that our emotional experience as parents means everything. So how we relate to emotions is exactly how determinant of how our child will develop. So I grew up in a household in which people didn't get angry until things got really bad, and then it got really angry. And that's what I learned. And so I never had a healthy view or expression of anger. And anger is associated with being big, boundaries, confidence, asserting yourself. It's not all toxic. And when I grew up, I thought that all anger, all aggression, all big energy was toxic. And that was because of my family, but also because of being bullied by people who had big energy. So the result of this, if we can keep it simple and you guys can relate to it, is if you can imagine in front of you, you've got on a split screen, you've got on the left side, male, and on the right side, female. Let's just sit with that for a moment, because culturally that's going to be different for each of you. But can I just go with what it was like to live in the Midwest United States? So on the left side, male represented big, strong, masculine. You take up for yourself. It's also the exclusion of a lot of other traits. Like you can't be soft, you can't be weak, don't cry, you can't be vulnerable. That's off limits. That word was never in my vocabulary in Midwest Indiana. On the left side there. But I grew up gay. So you understand that this binary system did not work for me. I grew up as like a gay sort of gender fluid kid. So this whole system is torture for me. I'm putting up here now. And for some of you too. But on the left side, you got whatever archetypal, stereotypical male for you. And for me, it's that. And then on the right side, you've got, again, Midwest Indiana, stereotypical female. What you're supposed to be is interested in female things. You know, not out playing football, but I'm sorry how sexist this is, but looking good, being good at certain things, being someone that you want to have for a wife. You know, after a while in the 80s, it became about, well, a successful woman too. That became part of it. Finally, my mother wasn't just a homemaker. She was very successful in business. And that was kind of breaking gender norms. But for the most part, this is what I grew up with, this sort of binary system. And I was indoctrinated into it. Now, I can't fit in either side of that coin. And it was hell on earth for me, but I didn't have words for it. On the left side, I can't be that. I have to be a soft boy. I can't be a big boy or a strong boy. Or any way aggressive, because of my trauma, everything to do with big and masculine is toxic. Hear that again. Justin Baldoni, this is why I brought him up. You know, when he went on the TED Talk and he said something like, there's nothing about me that goes along with masculinity, as if all masculinity, he went too far with it, I felt. I said, you know, I wrote in the comment, you know, Justin, I'm the gay version of you. I'm not here to ruffle feathers, but come on, the false humility alone of telling a group of people that you're against a gender. Well, come on, that's trauma. we internalize this stuff, and then this becomes our worldview. You know, we go around and tell everybody else that the way to do it is to, because I had to disown my masculinity, you should too. Because my dad was a big bad wolf and I can't express anger. That's the way to be. That's not progressive. That's trauma. Because we all have all of these traits within us. I even said it in the comment. We all have the traits normally associated with male and female on this left and side, right screen here. But when we have parents who do not know how to acknowledge all of that within us and cultivate what's natural, allow us to feel safe to be our authentic self, then we grow up saying things like, oh, I was Justin Baldoni. That's what I said. I'm the gay version. And Dan is the straight. He is Justin Baldoni. He even told me that. He's like, not anymore. I don't want to pick on Justin. There's an archetype out there of men who are struggling in a world in which you've got, you know, on the left side, this whatever cultural archetype, stereotype goes with being a man. That creates suffering for people. It created suffering for me. I totally get it. But I do not agree then with using your trauma in a way that bonds with people and people who are already victimized by their own trauma. Justin, I don't agree with that. Nor Mateus or Jimmy on relationship. And all those kind of smarmy guys and some females in the social media space, Dan and I talk about this, who cater to like the emotional repression of their audience without ever mentioning that they're anger repressors. That's the whole thing. All these guys, when you look at them, I didn't know who Justin Baldoni was. I didn't know. And Dan said, just go check him out. I turned on within a minute. That's the vibe I got. 30 seconds. False humility, daddy issues, which turned into authority issues and anti-masculinity. Getting unmet needs met by showing up a certain way, which is false, coming from trauma. And then again, that's the covertness. Look, there's narcissism everywhere. It's in all of us. You can't be the soft man in the PC world and step out of it. That's the covert side. Authenticity is the only thing. And healing is the only thing that ends the madness of all this shit of people, you know, like being against this or against that when we have all of it within us, basically. And when Justin's on there saying things like, you know, there's not a single thing about masculinity that I like. And then the audience goes, just roars with, and I'm like, okay, so this is somebody who's suffering. I even said in the comments, look, I got two diseases and addictions by saying the kinds of things that he said. I couldn't be a man or a woman. Bottom line. And that's what it feels like for people because you don't have any place to go. You look at the left side, the masculine ideal, and you're like, no, that's not me. First of all, yeah, I have the body of a male, but I can't be what I see as a toxic male. Okay, I get that, Justin. I totally agree. But that doesn't mean masculinity or power or anger are then shunned, and that's trauma. See, because we need our power. We need our anger. We need boundaries, assertiveness. Especially those like me and you, Justin, who grew up with this particular trauma. We don't need to be going on TED Talk to get everybody else to somehow buy into our bullshit. Our shit that we haven't resolved yet. To find out what it's really authentic for, what's authenticity for us. And yeah, we can go publicly and say anything before we've healed our trauma. And it's almost always to get our needs met. I just don't think it's the way. And I think being sort of like, I don't know what the word is, but really covert and smarmy about it and using one's own trauma, not processing it, and then turning to a bunch of people and saying, hey, look, aren't I so wonderful? When you're suffering, I mean, the thing is I know, is that anyone who presents like that is suffering. But the same is true for, like, you know, Justin makes a point. See, I don't take sides on this. I really don't. I'm not against what anybody. To me, this is unconsciousness. And Justin makes a good point, and these guys make a good point. Jimmy on relationship, go check him out. That basically, men, y'all are not often good in relationship. Can I just say it? Heterosexual men, and it's not your fault. It's your. You have to take responsibility, but it's your father's. I mean, women be powerful, men be vulnerable. Balance it all out. When I see people like Jimmy on relationship and these very vulnerable Justin Baldani's tops, like me and Dan, that's Dan and me. No matter what you think about our mouthiness on YouTube, we are former mousy, reformed martyrs who repressed anger and got our needs met by being false, good listeners, good, you know, compassionate, empathetic guys. False. So don't buy it. I mean, I am as much Justin as Dan is. And I'll just tell you, because we know it well, it's like you're fighting against the machine your whole life as a man, gay or straight, the masculine machine. And you don't fit in it. And so you have to conform to it at the same time. Like growing up, gay, I'll get to the how I couldn't be male or female. But many straight men feel like they can't be masculine because of this toxicity that exists out there. And so they gravitate towards feminine traits. And so then, therefore, many straight men think they're gay. And even their sexuality ends up sometimes being about trans women. I've seen this as a trend, and they don't realize it comes from, it's tied to repression. Not always anger repression, but quite often because they're dealing with a gender issue internally. They are essentially heterosexual, but they don't have their power. And so, and also I want to tell heterosexual men who are interested in porn in which they are being dominated by women, that's anger repression. If there's any kind of porn in which you're made to be small or nothing or demasculinized, you could say, anger repression, a lot of it is. And that's a missing key when people go to deal with sexual issues, is they don't see the repression piece. It's a central issue. I had a BDSM addiction. I would have other men, you know, dominate me. That was because I disowned my power from childhood being bullied, but really anger repression. So on this split screen, on the left side, masculinity, all men, gay, straight, bi, who kind of fight against the masculine norm out there are basically, for the most part, anger repressors. So maybe I just helped you identify an issue. Your whole life you didn't know. The reason you didn't know is because the anger is buried. You might feel the powerlessness, right? Of the sense of like, I can't be a man like them. But it has really nothing to do with masculinity. I'm telling you. It has to do with how the emotion of anger gets locked into gender. Because if you go to the other side of the coin, hurt and sadness repressors, they don't fight against the masculine. They tend to wear it more. Just as this is overgeneralization, because people are very diverse, actually. But just look out into the world and you'll see that some men do not have a problem being men, and often they can also get angry or they have bigger energy. They don't repress anger. So just understanding that this is so tied to emotional repression on both sides of the gender coin, but you can't see it because it looks like gender only. Now, I'll just tell my story because I can't tell everybody's, and within the period of time here. But on the right side of the split screen for me is the feminine archetype. And I couldn't be a woman either. Because, well, I had a male body. And I didn't want to be a woman. But I felt those traits, like that softness, that nurturing quality, the feminine, was always there. But I couldn't because I got bullied for that. So yeah, being feminine or showing any too much of my gay side, can't do that on the right side of the screen, and it can't be a man. On the left screen, I can't be a man, I can't be a woman. And I grew up that way, not knowing that that was my gender double bind, and that was a big source of my suffering. Fast forward to age 50, I finally develop repression inquiry. I can get to the anger repression that made it impossible for me to feel like a man. And I got to the femininity repression that made it impossible for me to feel or be the woman. And now you guys know, if you've been following my path, why those were my two repressions. It was kind of a gender double bind. But it was coming from anger repression, just growing up that way, and then femininity repression. But I learned to suppress the femininity. It was a repression, but once I was bullied for feminine things, I just learned to push those things down. So I can relate with anyone, straight, gay, bi, no matter what gender. I relate to gender issues. I also relate to people who don't recognize gender issues as emotional repression issues. And I relate to people who don't recognize emotional repression issues as connected straight to gender issues. But they're intrinsically linked. You can't work on masculine and feminine without working with emotions, because we're conditioned a certain way to sort of, you know, boys don't cry. Girls don't do that. Girls don't do what boys do. And we just start learning that it's not just showing up a certain way. It's like we can't express certain parts of ourselves. You know, if boys will be boys, then a boy getting angry is just a boy being a boy or being big and bad or something. But a girl doing that, well, that's cause for alarm in certain families. People have even come to KI and they've said, you know, I have like issues with, I can't be masculine, a guy will say. And I'll say, well, can we see if there's anger repression? And there'll be resistance to seeing that it's anger repression because they don't want to, they think anger is all toxic. I'll say, well, don't you also think masculinity is or can be? And they'll say, yeah. I'll say, do you sense the link? But they have difficulty because if you imagine an iceberg, they're aware at the tip of the iceberg of not being manly enough, but they're not aware of what's under the water, which is the buried anger. So it's easy to bamboozle oneself and not deal with the issue of around masculinity or femininity because you don't connect it to emotional repression. I want to bring Dan on here because it really isn't about being gay, and I think you're understanding that, and he'll explain from a heterosexual standpoint that emotional repression is connected to it directly. And so many people want to bypass these issues. So I meet straight men who are suffering, and it's like, well, okay, so you're trying to question identity or meditate or something, you're not going to get free. Because number one, I see anger repression. Therefore, there's masculinity repression. Therefore, you've got identifications coming from that repression. You probably believe you have to be small. You can't be big. You probably then play it out in porn. See, but people want to just wake up. They don't want to deal with all that. It's so natural. I didn't either. But in the end, you know, it's like... It's a surrender to the inevitable. The greatest thing that I ever did, and my whole life was a holdout against this, was just to own it all and be free. I can't even begin to tell you how comfortable I am in my own skin and being myself. I thought I was going to be transitioning. You know, and I'll still wear makeup, you guys will see it, because that's just an expression of me, but... it's like anything. If you don't know, you can't imagine authenticity. So when people don't really do emotional repression work, I think some people should transition if that's right for them, but you should do trauma work. That's why they tell you to go to a therapist first, because it should do more than that. You should dig deep into your hatred or anger or hurt towards dad and see how that's playing into anything you're planning. Because of course, if you want to transition, that's right for you, you must do that. But I seriously thought about it, but then I thought, that's not actually what I want. I just want to be myself. And I saw that that's truthfully an internal process, because if I were to transition and not deal with the buried anger, then I'd just be somebody who was then a trans woman with suffering. That's how it felt. But so when I just continued with the repression work, is realized I don't want to transition. Not there's anything wrong with that, of course. But I just needed to own the emotions that I buried and just be myself, you know, which is just a guy who wears eyeshadow sometimes and has a very nurturing side, but also has a powerful side. And, you know, I don't want to be anything other than what I am. But that's just me. It really is. And I feel like, because I'm not saying anything about anybody's experience here. I think everybody should live their life. Is there anything that I know about KI? It gives you your authenticity. Fucking enjoy it. Whatever it is, this is mine. And I get to spend however many years of my life finally not wondering at all, who am I? That's just very settling. It feels like the world, it sounds crazy maybe, it feels being intimate with the world. I don't even care if people don't like me. I have intimacy with that, because I have intimacy with my anger and my power and my femininity, my softness, my hardness. I was shielding myself against people, against intimacy and love, because I hadn't owned all the parts of myself. That's what I mean. We can't bypass this and be free. Whatever we hold back, whatever it is that for us feels true, we are forced to identify with what's false. We are forced into suffering because of repression. Emotional repression. Well, as always, I put the link at the end of this podcast. I talk about it, to come talk to me and either about doing one-on-one intensive 90 days. Come talk to me for free, only if you're really seriously thinking about that. You have time to sit and think about KI, right? And you can also go to the Jumpstart group. Click on the same link and join my group. People are going to that if they're not ready for one-on-one intensive. But I highly recommend, if you have an issue like this, do the intensive. If you have an issue that's been there your whole life and you're starting to get an inkling that it really has roots, and just like the science says, emotional repression, yeah, I don't know. It depends on how bad the suffering is, but why wait another minute if you know it's only your fear stopping you? But that fear or resistance is always what created your suffering. Here, this is can be a way out of it, but I can't promise it, because no matter what it is you're holding back that's true for you, remember that you've always gotten your needs met that way, which means you've always suffered. And even though suffering sucks, because we get our needs met in it, there really is resistance to freedom. So that's part of what we do, and what I do in the intensive is to work and help you work directly with the resistance to freedom. And that's how freedom happens. Thanks for listening.